And now it's time for David Holtz and Bible 101, Lessons from Esoteric Christianity. David Holtz brings a unique perspective to spirituality after making the journey from the fundamental perspective to the New Thought movement with a lot of steps between. During Bible 101, Lessons from Esoteric Christianity, you'll get answers to such questions as, how did the Bible come about? What does it mean to move from the age of law to an age of grace? Is there a hell? And many more fascinating questions you always wanted to ask without any guilt attached to them.
This is David Holtz inviting you to join me for this fascinating look at how the Bible evolved over years. A lot of people just call the Bible the Holy Book, but actually it is made of 66 separate and different books. Did Jesus speak English? Did Paul write in English? I don't think so. So we're going to look at the context of the culture and of the language and what they might have really said at the time that they said it. I'm sure that you'll get much out of this workshop, as I have done in studying and doing the research that I'm ready to share with you now.
Please note, this was recorded before a live audience, and the sound quality in places may vary. And now, here's David Holtz and Bible 101 as we take you into a seminar already in progress.
All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And this is our sixth session. Oh, it's not over. But this is the sixth session on this particular series. So being the last one, it's going to be a little different today. I'm going to speak for a little while and kind of just pull some things together. And then what we're going to do is open it up and we've got some questions we're going to put out there that's been covered. And you that want to get up and participate, we would like to get some feedback from you in the sense of what this has done for you and how, you know, how you have assimilated the information in that way. So let's just kind of begin here. Let's just start with this idea of God. God. It's a pretty big subject. Does anybody here know where we get the word God by any chance? Where does the word G-O-D come from?
Isn't it from German?
German. Excellent.
From where?
From Germany. Oh. From the word German for good. Gut. And that was a little more gruttle for the more English American idea. So gut became God. Good gut. Good God. But it's a word for God. It actually is. And it comes into the translation of the influence of the German language. We have a lot of languages that influences English language. Just as every language has sister languages or what they call borrow words. Mm-hmm. In the Aramaic, if there wasn't a word in the Aramaic, they borrowed from the Hebrews. So that's why there's a mixture of Aramaic and Hebrew when you really study out such things as what Jesus said on the cross, my God, why has he forsaken me? Forgive them, they know what they do. That's a real mixture of Aramaic and Hebrew words, because there wasn't certain words in the first language, so they borrowed from the second language. The word papa is a word that we use in English that are used in Italian and more Latin, Spanish type languages. So we all have a real mixture in our languages of the roots of other languages that has come in. Coming from a biblical point of view, which is really what this series has been about, the word God is in the English translation. And so the translated word it comes from in the original Hebrew is Elohim. 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 And if you really study out the word Elohim, it doesn't really give us an idea of a monotheistic, anthropomorphic being. Now, those are big words, I know, but I'll try to explain. I think you get monotheistic versus polytheistic, one God. One God is monotheistic. Polytheistic was there was a God for everything. And some of you kind of go that way if you're more leaning toward the pagan level. And I know that's just like a dirty word. You shouldn't say it, but it really isn't. It's just those who understand the God and the goddesses of nature and of that, so on and so forth. It's just too bad some of these words have gotten such a horrible rap. Occult is another one we've talked about here that has got a bad rap because people confuse it with cult. Mm-hmm. You know, I would definitely steer people away from a cult situation because that's disempowering to be in a cult. But to be occult is a seeker who seeks deeper hidden truths. Mm-hmm. See how simple it is? Mm-hmm. So simple when we really have understanding. Paul said, let us do and speak and sing with the Spirit, but let us also with understanding. And that's what's missing, understanding. I know we have a lot of knowledge represented in this room. People are very knowledgeable right now. The books are out there. The information is out there. For some reason, I'm losing my voice today, but he who loses it shall find it. That's a scripture too. So. He who loses his soul shall find it. So what was I saying?
Occult.
Yeah, occult is not a bad word. It's a good word. We're all occult. Jesus was very occult because he said, my words are in parables. In other words, they're hidden in the stories I'm telling you. They're not the story. It's not the story. It's not about fish and nets and planting seeds and barns and wheat and tares and it's that's not what, that's your language. Because that's what you do. That's the language of the people. But what I'm really saying to you is encoded in those words, and it's up to you to become and go beyond the physical symbol, which is the word metaphysical.
Yes.
So in that sense, we are metaphysicians, and we should be proud of it and hold our head high. So if your family or friends are trying to give you a really bad deal because you're metaphysical, ask them, what does that mean? If anybody comes to you with these different terms and levels of things, it's often good to try to answer a question with a question. Jesus often did that. It was his technique. It's an old rabbinic method of, are you the Son of God? This is what you say. Or there's great wisdom in communication. I really think we need classes on that personally. How do we communicate as people on a spiritual path? How do we really use wisdom? Wisdom. The feminine side of knowledge is wisdom, Sophia. Yeah. So, I felt to give you a definition that was given to me. Now, I, like the rest of you probably in this room, have been on the quest and the search to find God. To find God. What is God? And I can't tell you I've been overly successful. Even though I've been in the God consciousness for all my life. And please understand, I have no trouble. I'm trying to make peace with some of these terms because it is the language of the people. And we discussed this last time, how important it is. That's why Jesus did talk about fish and nets and why he did talk the language of the people. And you should be able, don't start out with people way up here. You know, start with people where they are and bring them where they want to go. Where they want to go, not where you want them to go, but where they're ready to go. That's a good teacher with a student. You want to find out where is the student trying to get to, and as the teacher, I'm going to facilitate that process of helping you to attain to that place. the ego system is a teacher who is controlling, and this is the place you will go. And I will get you there whether you want to get there or not. That's the difference in the system of the Holy Spirit and the system of the ego. Okay? So in my searches and all the things that I've studied, this is what was given to me, and I just felt that in this last session on this subject, I wanted to offer you this definition that give me some sort of settling in my spirit about God. Before I say this, please be careful about the way the ego puts us on a path. It puts us on a path of lack. It puts us on a path of we don't have it, but we can get it if we stay on the path. The true path, now hear me carefully, the true path is the path to no path.
Yes.
The path never gets you to what you are trying to get to. It will never do it.
Yes.
Yep. Amen.
Sounds like Gangaji came.
I have, you don't know how many times in almost 53 years now, that I thought I found it. This is what I've been looking for. This is it.
Yep.
I'm there. Then I found out there was always another there to get to, and it's just been a continuous, I call it the old horse and carrot trick. Mm-hmm. Dangling the carrot out in front of the horse, and the horse never gets the carrot. And the ego would have you on the search until your last breath. Mm-hmm. I tell people, there's got to be a critical mass of souls in a generation. I'm declaring this to be the generation. The gene-eration will not walk as their forefathers. Who will come to this place in which we will realize the only absolute that there is in life is the isness of life. Mm-hmm. It's recorded Jesus said, be about your father's business. I say, be about your father's isness. I just know I am. It is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But as far as defining things that are undefinable, I'm not going to find it defined on the path. Now, here's what I was given. That was given to me that I'm just sharing with you. Find your own, or if this resonates with you, you can have it. This is what was given to me. This is what I heard come up in my spirit. God is defined as a non-local, non-definable consciousness that interacts with itself. I'll read it again. God is a non-local, you can't find it in space and time, non-definable, can't define that which has no beginning and no end, that which has never had a birth or death. How do you define something that vast? How do you capture it in a concept or a construct of the mental mind? How do you hold it within the confinements of dogma, doctrine, and religions? It's arrogant to think we can. The most arrogant thing I can tell you I can imagine is any religion or any group of people who believe they have all the truth and everybody else is wrong.
That's right.
That is the ultimate arrogance.
Yep.
Of the manifestation of the ego system.
Yes, it is.
A non-local, non-definable consciousness that interacts with itself. And you are that itself. It interacts with itself. Now, I don't want to stay on that because I can make a whole teaching on that. I'm just kind of going to do what I feel to do this morning. I'd like to share an experience with you because I think experience trumps knowledge. I can give you a lot of knowledge without any experience behind it. It's just what I believe and what I think. But I'd like to give you an experience that happened in 1979. I was pastoring a church in Little Rock, Arkansas, co-pastoring with somebody. And, excuse me, I was going through a real transitional period in my life on a personal level. Bottom line is, the group that I was a part of, and I was part of a movement at that time called the Manifested Sons of God movement out of Springfield, Missouri. Bill Britton was ahead of it, and it was a bunch of fundamentalists who'd come out of fundamentalism, who'd come to the edges of fundamentalism and remove the rapture and had a more positive spin on Christianity, which I appreciate. I appreciate that realm of walking through there, and I was quite a part of that movement. But as I began to become more real with myself and who I was and went through this place, I began to be somewhat set aside from the circle. And being a part of a conference in which there were many speakers, many main speakers that were a part of this movement, I found myself sitting in the back listening, feeling very isolated and alone, and at some point extremely bored with what I was hearing. But I had been there, I was part of the ministry, so I decided to not leave, but I stayed. In the boredom of it, I had the strangest thought come out of somewhere or nowhere. And the thought was, use your imagination and pretend you are God. Play like you're God. Have an inner mind game. Give you something to do. And I began to think, well, I don't even know how to imagine to be God. It was a very self-evident revelation to me. What does that mean, to be God? So the only thing that I could mentally come up with, the highest thing I could come up with as a mental idea, was love. God is love. I've been taught that all my life. God is love. So I could kind of embrace the idea of love to some degree. I'm not sure we can understand really divine love versus human love, but we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. So anyway, I was playing this game and I thought, I'm going to imagine being the totality of all love. And I just kept moving in that direction. I just became passionate inside. I am the totality of all love. And it started feeling really energetically good to just think about love itself. I didn't know what it totally meant, but it just felt so good to think about being the totality of all the love there is. And at first it was so exciting and I was passionate about it. And as I continued to just use that mantra, I'm the totality of all love. I'm the totality of all love. I'm the totality of all love. I'm the totality of all. And my whole inner environment began to change, and I began to slow down, and I began to start feeling something about this being all love wasn't everything. All wasn't everything. Now, I'll do this quick. I don't know why I'm doing this morning, but this is what I feel to do. All of a sudden, I realized being the totality of all love, there was a desire, I really almost want to use the word need, but I try to stay away from it. But in this case, it was like a desire, a great burning desire and need to have something to love. It wasn't enough to be the totality of all love. I don't know how many people have come to me. And of course, it's mostly females and women that have come to me with this. Not very few men have come to me with this. But here's what a lot of people have said to me. I have so much love in me. Pray that somebody comes along in my life. Some good husband, a partner of some kind. Because I have so much love to give. In other words, love needs to respond to stimuli. Where's the stimuli to make love loving? Who wants to have and be all love if you have nothing to love? Now this got serious. All of a sudden, I went from playing a game, and this is why I encourage people, use your imagination. Imagination can tap you in to spiritual divine memory. I believe that all of the empty space in the human cell that has been seen as nothing but empty spell through all the Newtonian, all of the old science, which is now being seen as not empty, but a very subtle field, an electromagnetic subtle field of all possibility. Isn't that amazing? If you really want to find God in you, find your own human potential. God in you is your human potential for all things to be accomplished. So all of a sudden I begin to be living in the memory of creation. I begin to experience creation. If source, what we call God, is all omnipotent, everything, then where was this source going to find something to love? What can he or she or it really, and I don't want to say to you, the Aramaic and some other language, it's very proper to use it, referring to divinity, rather than even he or she. Because you know what? You can start out at the realm of mother, father. But there's nobody starts out as a mother or a father. You become a mother and a father. Just food for thought.
That's it.
What is it before it became a mother, father?
Thing itself.
It became just the it.
That's right.
Undefinable. Totally non-definable, non-local consciousness that interacts with itself. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. So I realized that the only thing that could be creation would be the extension of that already existed. Mm-hmm. It only could extend itself. The symbol that I would give you is the sun, being the source, extends the ray. Now, get this. The ray of the sun, the rays that come down here on the earth, at one level is the sun itself. At another level, it's not all the sun. So you have quality and you have quantity. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yep.
Again, this is another thing you got to be careful about. You that get into this, we are divinity. We are even, there's quite a movement out there, we are gods. Because the Bible says ye are gods. You got to be careful with that one. That's some heavy duty information. When handed over to the ego, can be extremely useful to the ego's agenda. But if you don't give it over to the Holy Spirit in its more more humbling direction, then you're in trouble. One, you'll isolate yourself because you're God. You don't need anything else or anybody else. I'm God. That's what I've seen through the years. People isolate. They don't have any community. They don't need to come to any meetings. They don't need to do anything. I'm God. Why would I need anything for? No. You are God, but you're not all a God. And I'm going to use the word God for communication language, okay? I remember my folks had a swimming pool growing up. When I'd go home to visit, one of my jobs would be go out and check the the pH of the swimming pool in the morning. Now, I didn't have to check all the how many gallons of water was in that pool. I just had a little test tube and got that much water, and that water in that test tube said, this is what the whole pool is. Right? You go get a bucket of ocean water out here, you have ocean water, but you don't have the whole ocean. I hope this helps you to understand that when we say the divine is in us, that we're not talking about quantity, we're talking about quality. There is a quality of a character or nature in me that is equal to that which created me. I am a part of that creator. I am the ray of the sun. I am the child of the sun. I'm the daughter of the sun. I'm the son of the sun. Okay? It was the most tremendous experience that settled for me what this was. So here's what I'm saying. Source was everything, but had become nothing.
You're listening to David Holtz and Bible 101. We'll continue after this short message from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now here's the continuation of our Bible 101 class.
This is where Eastern thought is important to me. In fact, there's a place, I don't know if I can find it in here, but Paul says, after I've ended up with everything, I've come to know nothing. Yeah, I'm just reading it. I don't know if I can find it. It's so good, but he says, I come to know nothing. I came to understand nothing. I came to study nothing. And I thought, this is so Eastern, such an idea of the void. The void. Now, the void doesn't mean there's no thing.
Right.
Nothing, huh? We're not talking about no thing. We're talking about nothing has yet manifested from the all. Yeah. The void is where the potential of everything lies. And at that point, everything is everything else. Are you with me? Yeah. At that point, everything is everything else. Before it's become this, before it's become that, before it becomes this, it was everything. Even the Bible starts out, what's the first thing? Out of the void. Something came out of the void and said, let there be light. And it said, God moved across the face of the void. Darkness of the void. But the real translation said, God vibrated across the face of the void. That's why vibration is our most root place that we need to be working with right now for a transition into a new age, a new body. A new evolutionary human experience has to start with vibration. Mm-hmm. The face of the deep is nothing but the unenlightened part of the mind. But in the unenlightened part of the mind lies the void of all possibility. Okay. I had to say that. And I'll talk a little more about when that ray came out of the sun in this inner vision, it didn't know it wasn't all the sun. Because it was the sun. Everything that made the sun what it is in its wholeness was in the extension. And it couldn't hold it as far as quantity, and it burst in trying to hold this consciousness because it couldn't be held in the ray until it became billions and billions and billions of particles of light floating down into the more dense aspects of manifestation. And that is called the individualization of the one. Mm-hmm. Every one of you represent an individualization. You're not the individual God, see? Mm-hmm. Individual is separate. Who you are as an individual is a part of you when they said when you were born, there'll be nobody like you in the world. You are the cutest little baby I've ever seen, and nobody will be as smart as you in the world. Boy, they start right out with separation, don't they? A lot of kids are suffering because of this kind of teaching today, too. They're making the wrong thing so special. They're making what makes us different special instead of what makes us one and together special. That makes sense to you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
These kids are thinking they're so special as a human ego individual. They're not very pleasant to be around. You know, they want it their way. So, when I first heard A Course in Miracles and they used the term extension, I got it. I said, that's it. That's it. Creation is the extension of that which is to become the individualization of itself so that it can what? Interact with itself. So actually, I wanted to know why. Here's my kind of Christian fundamentalist mentality. Why in the hell did you start this thing anyway? You had it pretty good before us. You were all love and all peace and all joy. You were why did you even want to start this creation thing? There is a place in the Bible. Actually, there is a place in the Bible that says, and God repented he ever made man. I can show it to you. It's in the Bible. God's going, oh my God. Oh my me. Why did I ever make this thing? This has just gone all wrong. But when you understand that we've been created out of a desire for love, to be loving to something that equals itself. You can't love that which is not equal to you. That's why marriages and relationships don't work. As long as there's any inner imprints or codes that there's the woman is inferior to the man and the man is more powerful than the woman. That's not love. That's pity and admiration. I'm going to be talking about this in 2 weeks. We're going to do relationships and we're going to do the twin flames, the soulmates, and the star mates. Don't miss it. You're going to kind of hear some of the things I just said, so I don't know why I'm doing it this morning, but whatever. Okay. So I kind of, that's why I'm going to the Buddhist idea of psychology for the next classes. I just love this, what I'm finding. I know somebody said, you're going to what? Aren't you on the Bible 101 and you're going to Buddhist psychology? So, yeah, don't underestimate where I go. I'm free. I just go all over the place. All right. First question that most of you have been asked and will be asked again is, are you saved? Are you saved? The first thing you want to know, are you saved? So let's look at the word saved as it's used in the Christian Bible, translated from the Greek The word saved is sozo, or sozo, it's pronounced, but it's S-O-Z-O, S-O-Z-O. And the word means healing, safe, protect, make whole. Now, where in that definition do you get you've been born a rotten, dirty, sinner human, and you need to come to Jesus for forgiveness? Nothing. There's nothing in the languages themselves that gives us any idea of what being saved means in a fundamentalist Christian point of view. They have put pieces together to build a dogma, and a dogma that cannot stand at all upon the original language and the time of those who spoke these things. To be saved means to be healed. Now get this, and boy did I love this, I just found this out. Then it took me to another word, soma, which I named Soma Energetics. This is the name of my company, my tuning fork company, is Soma Energetics, because I did know that soma had been translated all around 78 times in the New Testament from the word soma. But get this, I looked it up in the Greek and it says body sound whole. Body is sound and whole. So to be saved actually means to be healed, which in this case means to undo any false, incorrect thinking that you were created a whole, magnificent child of God, of Creator. That's what being saved is. Being saved means to awaken and know that you are safe and protected by creationism. By creation. The act of creation has made you who you are. You go to these churches and they'll say, you are not that, but we can make you become that. We can make you become a child of God. That's what split me from the Sons of God movement. They had a truth, but the ego got in there and said the Sons of God were those, one, who had to be saved, had to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they were an elect chosen by God, and therefore nobody else was sons but this little group of people. I said, oh my, something's not right here. And then something said to me, you are who you are by creation. Creation has made you who you are. We're all the only one begotten child of God.
That's it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
There lies the truth that can set us free and save us. Save us from what? Think of all the people who worry about staying saved after they've had a salvation experience. Now, I come from that, so I'll tell you how it works if you don't know. I came from the part of fundamentalism that believed that salvation was a continual thing. Now, my Baptist friends, we call them greasy grace people, because they believe once saved, always saved, and we didn't do that. We believed every little thing you did wrong, you lost your salvation, you had to get it again. I spend a lot of time at the altar, let me tell you. Every Sunday night I hit the altar because I knew what I had done that week and thought. And I thought, oh my God, if the rapture comes, I'll be lost, because they told us that.
Yeah.
You know, if I listened to an Elvis Presley record and Jesus came back, what would you do? I wish they'd ask me now. I'd get them to dance. That's what I do.
And Jesus would dance with Jesus.
That's right. Yeah, and so it was a continuously coming back to that place of, and you don't know how much misery that caused. My mother, bless her heart. She, you know, she's the product of all that. She used to tell the story of, I was just a few weeks old, and somehow I rolled over and fell between the wall and the bed. I didn't hurt myself, but being the person I am, I decided not to cry and be quiet. And when she came in, her baby wasn't on the bed. Where's my baby gone? And I'm sure I'm just sitting there agreeing because I cried all the time. They said I cried all the time, but I didn't cry this time. Just totally being mean, I guess. But I didn't. And my mother goes hysterical through the house, thinking the rapture had come and taken her baby, and she had been left, and she was whatever. Now I'm taking this all in back there. Huh? I'm getting the message. You better be afraid and very afraid. That's the stuff I deal with. If you don't get into my root chakra and get into my root assumptions, it's those kind of things, of hearing those things from the womb all the way up. But you better be on the ball or God will get you. And fear has always been an issue that I've inherited that I have to deal with. It's always been a part of my mind, body, energy body to deal with. I still deal with the fear of death and the fear of this. I'm just being honest with you. That's my issues, my human issues that I deal with, trying to constantly undo that and get to the axe at the root of the tree. And I believe it's the family tree.
Yeah.
When Jesus said, put the axe at the root of the tree, I do believe he was talking about the family tree. There's an old sage saying that says, if you want to feel the sun shine in your face, step out from under the family tree. But to feel safe and protected and whole, and to realize that I don't always have to worry about falling out of grace with God by every little act or human thing that I do or am, is one of the greatest things to be saved from.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you want to be saved from. You want to be saved from fear and self-condemnation and guilt and self-hatred and low self-esteem and feeling powerless and giving your power to some religion who can make it good with God. Whether it's the priest, whether it's the preacher, whether it's the prophet, whether it's the guru, it doesn't matter. You need to find that holy, sacred place in you and know who you are, and then you can begin to build your house.
Tell it. Yeah.
Soma. A body of sound.
Yes.
And I believe sound and sound being sound. Oh, wow. Okay.
This is a previously recorded live workshop with David Holtz and Bible 101. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.somaenergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now here's the continuation of our Bible 101 class.
All right, I'm going to open this up a little bit now. And we started out with the first week on why we even wanted to do these classes and what would be the benefit of you who are already on this consciousness of new thought and metaphysics and pretty much know who you are. I don't know how many of us have experienced who we are, but a lot of us know it because that's what we've been taught and we sing and we hear it all the time. That's two different things. But what is the purpose in going through these series of classes? Can anybody give me any idea that was covered in that first first week. I will play the devil's advocate here, and I'm asking you, why do you feel any particular drawing to understand more about really the Bible and what the Bible really says in the context of its time?
Whoa.
For me, it's been...
Well, okay, go ahead. George?
I was going to say, for me, it's been really refreshing because I had pretty much set the King James Version of the Bible, which is the one that was forced upon me as I was coming up, set it totally aside and was looking more at all the other Course in Miracles,
right,
so on and so forth, that it's nice to get back and see that that's totally in line. It's just you've got to be looking at it.
Great.
From the
so,
right perspective.
So it's giving you a contact, a connection again.
Right.
The things are not as separate as it appears to be.
I get asked all the time, "Are you saved?" And I say, "I was never lost."
That's the point.
Then,
yeah. If I can be saved, of course, Miracle says if I need Jesus speaking salvation, so if you need salvation, so do I. Yeah. If you think you need salvation to be saved, that you've gone somewhere, so have I. So, you know, it's true. We're all one. So, if we need something, so would our elder brother need the same thing. Think there's not a separation. Okay, the thing that we gave you was some scriptures. Have you kept your
notes?
I mean your handouts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good.
David, I want to say something about the Bible part because I'm coming from a different place than you are and some of the other people. As a Catholic, growing up at the time I did, and I was in Catholic school, we never had a Bible.
Right.
We were never encouraged to read the Bible. Certain things are read to us in Latin in class, in Mass. Mm-hmm. That was the only time we heard. We were just told what we were supposed to do and how we were supposed to do it, including voting. And for me to come to a class like this, it's like, why are these people involved in this? Because we never had exposure. And it's a surprise to me to hear some of the things that are actually in a Bible. And also that, you know, I've studied the Lamsa Bible a little bit.
Yeah.
To me, that's freeing. I'll tell you, I don't like the regular Bibles. They sound like somebody's beating me up all the time.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to get this view. It's very broadening. I'm very appreciative.
Good. I like that word.
And I appreciate the fact that you're willing to share where you've come from, which is really, to me, like 180 degrees from where we are at Unity. And to me, Unity is the so far the most freeing place and free place to be for me.
Yes.
Because I've tried a number of other things, and they're like, and I just can't deal with it. But I came out of curiosity and because I feel like a stranger in a strange land. I don't know this thing that our whole country is based on.
Yes. And now you do have now you have a little grasp of it.
Yes.
By the way, it was in the 1580s that the Roman Catholic Church actually lost the battle to keep the translation of the Bible in Latin only and decided the Bible would be available in English, but they would have to authorize their own English Bible, which they changed to fit their own idea. So you're right. It was at one time, people did not read the Bible, everything was in Latin, to not empower the people with knowledge and information. You had to come and hear it from your priests.
But we weren't even encouraged. We weren't even told to have a Bible or read it at all.
Right.
Yeah, because only the enlightened could tell
right.
what it said.
That's right.
Here's the thing. That's a good point. Let's do that.
God's it.
You know, we're very challenged in this consciousness we're in to see the goodness in all people. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm challenged every day to think. I don't know about that one. But it's my opportunity. Those are the people who teach me. They're the people who give me an opportunity to get further past the veil of illusion and appearance and to find the core of truth itself. that is deeply in all, that spark that I talked about, that light, that divine sperm. I gotta read y'all something. Whoops. I gotta read y'all something. Where am I going? Come on, Holy Spirit, come to me. I said that. That just came out of my mouth. It just came out of my mouth. Listen to this. This is 1 John 3, verse 9 in the Amplified. I need to hear this. No one born or begotten of God deliberately and knowingly or habitually practices sin. In other words, he that is born of God cannot sin. That's what you were saying a while ago. I can't be saved because I never sinned. How can you be sinned if you're born of God and you are part of that God? But listen to this. For God's nature abides in them, the principle of life, the divine sperm remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he's born and begotten of God.
Mm.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah. David, what is
you
that?
You want to throw
John?
This away? Yeah.
John what?
First John. It's First John. It's not Saint John.
First John.
For you Bible people, got to understand there's Saint John, and then there's First John, Second John, Third John. This is First John 3 and verse 9. Is that good or not?
Wow.
You carry God's DNA. You carry the seed of God in you. It just blew me away. All right. What we actually covered and why we what we covered was from a Bible-based idea was 1 Peter 3:15, Colossians 4:6, and all of them say that be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and reverence. Now the word is fear in the King James Bible. When you see the word fear in King James, substitute the word with reverence. They have translated the word reverence with fear. Now that's a whole different thing, to have a reverence to something and fear it. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Not to be scared.
Not about being scared. Colossians, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So this is why we're doing it. We're doing it because we want to be communicators. I don't know. I think we need communicators more than we need just teachers. Mm-hmm. People need to be able to communicate with people. I hope I'm getting this over to you that how do I say this? I mean, I went through such a period when I first found Unity and New Thought, and I was so ready to dump all that. Dump the Bible, dump my whole Christian walk, a ministry of years and years, even at that point. It had been 18 years or 19 years of most of my life. I was a child when I started, full time into the ministry. And I was ready to take that whole part of my life out, because I didn't want to be offensive, and I didn't want to sound like a preacher, and I wanted to conform myself to the image of New Thought. Anybody hear me?
Oh yes.
Yeah. I wanted to talk like him and stay behind the thing and have my notes and do my little sermon and be like him. And I tried that so hard. Now when I would come to Charlotte, and you would not believe, I can't believe how many times I've been here. Going through these old tapes of mine, 1,700 cassette tapes, I gave them up, Charlotte. I've got all kinds of tapes of me speaking. I hear you in some of the workshops. When we on Saturday afternoon, we got kind of wild in there. Because I had a little group that was coming at that time, and we were really having some good times over on Woodlawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've been coming here for 23 years. And speaking, and whatever. But there was some, and Randolph just had this little space for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I think that was part of the attraction of me coming, because I think he, you know, he wanted that mm-hmm. passion, that mm-hmm. that little bit of
oh yeah
life to it. And he was very, very good. I really hear it was, what was the wife's name?
Carrie.
Yeah. I heard it was Carrie that really had me come in more than he did, but Carrie liked me. But so I think, oh no, if I go there, it's going to get out of hand again.
No.
So I'm just telling you, that's why I'm so thankful for Unity of Charlotte, because it has embraced me and allowed me to somewhat be myself, and I appreciate that. So I didn't lose, I mean, we never lose it, but we just kind of stuff it somewhere and let it become. I'm so glad that I'm so glad I did not become conformed
yes.
into any image that is not who I am.
Thank God.
Yes.
See, then that's, and I'm here, and that's why I'm here, and that's, I'll be here as long as I can be accepted within this anointing that's been put on my life, because it's my lifeline.
Yes.
If I just get all intellectual and I try to just stay in my head, which there's so many good people out there that are so well at that, so educated. You can get the best of speakers and the workshop people and all of that. But where is the life and the passion?
Yes.
Come on, somebody help me.
Yes.
Where is the life and the passion?
All right.
I can't believe the way people are about sports. I just don't get it. I mean, people don't mind at all getting passionate about stuff that really, when it's all over, don't mean a hill of beans.
Yeah.
But it's acceptable.
But it's acceptable. It yeah. is. And then when it comes to ideas of spirituality, God, or whatever, we all get so reverent and so quiet and so stiff and unmovable. This should be the most exciting thing in your life.
Yes.
In your life.
Yes.
Oh, I just have to say this today.
All right.
You that have been here at Unity and brought to Unity and have been made free, you truly are the saved.
Yes.
My God, you're saved from them.
Yes.
I've been saved from doctrine that makes the inherent word of God in you of no effect.
Yes.
You should be the happiest people. And it's them that's shouting and screaming and hollering over the devil and who's going to hell and the prostitutes and the homosexuals and whatever. And here we are free. We are saved from that. And we're saying,
speak that again. Tell it again. Say it again.
David.
Got a witness here.
Please save me from being forced to jump up and down.
Oh yes.
When my happiness, my right. passion is quieter.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you. All right. Let's talk about that. We all have an individual. What are we going to call it?
Way of
disposition,
expression.
Nature. We come from different cultures. Come on, let's just talk about it. All right.
Exactly. Yeah.
They brought it up. So let's just talk about it. So this is the challenge. This is the challenge, but it's the growing challenge, people. If we can embrace it, if we can embrace the diversity, if we can allow everyone to find their sacred space and how that spirit moves in them.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Then we're going to all grow as a group, as a community. Huh? But we've got to find the synergy. We've got to find where all the contributions come together to create something that is so unique that it is neither this or that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I understand that.
It's both.
I come from a whole different ball game than you that came from Episcopalian, Presbyterian, or atheist, or Catholic, or whatever. And I have to learn to honor that. And I don't want to try to work you up and think that you don't have anything because you're not jumping up and down. But some of us who have experienced that, you know, and come from that culture and from that freedom and from that thing. Of course, my story, some of you that know, is my aunt was my pastor, who was very demonstrative, to say the least. I mean, she was quite a go-getter. And was very, very well received in the African American community. And she would take me with her on Saturday nights. The church hadn't been built, but it was in a basement, but they broadcast every Saturday night, and she would go and sing. She had that style that they really liked. And I would sit there and go, oh my goodness, you know, this is just too good. This is too good, you know. I'm gonna learn about this. You know, I wanted whatever this was that I was feeling, and this freedom. I wanted my body to be free. I wanted the spirit to get to where my body was. I wanted the spirit to get to where my feet were. I wanted the spirit to get to where my hands were. That was just my thinking about it. And you know, and of course I ended up becoming the organist at that church within a few years. You know,
using your feet and your hands.
I did. Oh yes, I did. And so, you know, I went through that whole phase for a decade or more. You know, went to Chicago. I remember. This is just totally lost the whole thing today, so let's just go with it. I lost my thing as a child was watching an old movie by Lana Turner called Imitation of Life. What a tearjerker. And who sings at the funeral but Mahalia Jackson? I was so touched when this woman sang that little few minutes. I just felt something I'd never felt, and I became a fan of Mahalia Jackson. Mm-hmm. I bought all of her 78 records, I'm sure they were at that time. And I would, I could pick up late at night on the radio, WLS in Chicago, and I would think about Chicago, and then I started cutting out pictures of the skyline of Chicago, and I had this thing about Chicago and Mahalia Jackson, Chicago and Mahalia Jackson. I thought this is just my little childhood fantasy thing. In 1969, I was asked to come to Chicago and to speak at the Lawson YMCA, downtown Chicago. And I began to go back, and they had me, and get this, every week I flew from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Chicago for $25 on Ozark Airlines. It was a minister's discount.
Oh, wow.
$25, and I would preach at the Lawson YMCA, which was a very mixed group of people, racially. And I got through preaching one night, and this little lady comes up to me, and she says, hi, I want to introduce myself. I am TV Hall, which stood for Tevelda. TV Hall. Cute little thing. She was just so cute. And she says, I'm the personal assistant to Mahalia Jackson. And I went home last night and I said, Mahalia, you got to come and hear this white boy preach. I'm telling you this because you can manifest. Don't you think you can?
Yes.
So the next night, here comes Mahalia Jackson in a cab, incognito, down to the Lawson YMCA. And she sang, and I preached. I didn't have one stitch of dry clothes on. And Mahalia took me out, and she says, darling, anybody preaches that hard needs just a little bit of brandy. I was a sanctified boy. But it was Mahalia Jackson. So I remember it burned like, oh. And there was just this wonderful rapport between us, and I started traveling with her and her entourage. I think she enjoyed having someone of Caucasian race in there. I found her an organist at Oral Roberts University, who was from Cleveland, and then I would play a little bit. We would travel around, and she... Anyway, I don't mean to get into how I'm getting into this, but she went through such a hard time at the last part of her life. There's a lot of suspect about her death, pertaining a cousin and a ex-husband. We don't know what happened, but she became very weak and ill. And she would call me in the middle of the night in Tulsa, and she'd call me Reverend Child. And she'd say, Reverend Child, please pray for me. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And... In 1972, she was coming to Tulsa to raise money for me to buy this church that I had found there. And she had just gone to Japan at a concert, and then she passed away in 1972. But, ah, oh, what a wonderful experience. And I refer to that to remind myself you can truly manifest your deepest intent. Is that all right? I don't know where that comes from or why, but I'm just trying to let you know, because I know you've heard a little bit about me and Mahalia and all that, and I thought, well, you never maybe heard the story of why. You know, I know Tom Hacker's always made a big deal about me traveling with Mahalia Jackson and all that. But it was just a wonderful thing. So, we're doing it, bottom line, so that we can have the conversation. Now, I'm telling you folks, I'm going to mention this. Please, let's consider dealing with homosexuality in Christianity. This gay thing is going so fast and so huge that it's in everybody's face, whether you want it or not. And even if you don't have someone in your family or a friend or somebody, and most people of us do have somebody that we know that is gay. And it is one of the most controversial subjects of more conservative Christianity. And I would love to be able for us to address that from the biblical standpoint. All these few scriptures that are used against homosexuality. I'm talking about born-oriented people. I'm not talking about an act. Are you understanding me? I'm not talking about an act. I'm talking about an orientation that millions of people are born as.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Why? How long will we sweep this under the rug? That's going to be a part of the conversation. It's not going to be just about Jesus on the cross. It's not going to be just about the devil. It's not going to be just about hell. It's not going to be just the things we've covered here, but it's the real things that are going on in life that I would like to bring this into so we can really discuss it and leave here with some enlightenment to have the conversation when it is time for you to have the conversation.
David, when the Bible was cut and pasted and edited to meet certain standards that were in effect at different times in our lifetime, were some things left out about that? Have you found in your research if anything particular was left out about that was not condemning? And, you know, that...
Well, I would rather wait and get into that when the subject comes.
It just seems that surely that was covered in more than just those two or three phrases right. We always hear.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to... I'm just putting it out there for you that... you say, well, I'm not that way. I don't know anybody that way. I'm not interested. No, it's a part of the mass consciousness, the national consciousness, the state consciousness, your city, neighbors. It's going to come. It's coming.
David, I'd love to see included in that is just some of the social issues, period. You know, man's dominion over earth. You know,
absolutely.
All of those key social issues
abortion.
That we keep on coming back to. Abortion.
Abortion, absolutely. I'm ready to take it on.
David, yes. I think what you're saying today is so important because that is practical Christianity.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I think we are all looking for, where we can practice every day from a standpoint that is Christ-centered.
Thank you. I'm ready to take it on. I've waited. You know, I'm 67 years old, and I have lived a double life for many of those years, and I've stuffed a part of myself that never got validated or was a part. And I am ready to be whole.
David.
Yes.
David.
Sozo.
David, have you become acquainted with Dr. Carl Osher, who is one of the vice presidents of the Unity Association?
I have not.
Carl is a wonderful, open, homosexual man who I praise God that he was in my class for years before we actually went to Unity Village, but he was there, and he taught us, and he is so informed, and he's so clear with his orientation and how very, very Christian he is. I would really recommend
Absolutely.
That you talk
All right.
to Carl.
Be sure and email me or write me. that information. I don't think there's going to be a problem in materials and whatever that is out there, but it's just, how many of you feel just uncomfortable even talking about this today? Anybody can be honest and say that?
Not at all.
See, Sunday we sang a song and it had in it gay and straight and all of that, and I thought it was just over. You know, it was just like a part of a word, a song. And I thought, nobody, I mean, you can see what I'm saying, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I mean, you've opened a place for the conversation to happen, and it needs to take place.
Lawrence.
Yes.
There have been so many places where I wanted to say something about it, and now that we've gotten to this, I don't have any discomfort on this topic.
Neither do I.
And I think that there are many more people who lack discomfort than we actually give credit to. And and when there is that lack of discomfort with it, then talking about it comes out a little bit differently. I mean, I'm so excited that you are here, and I really appreciate this whole thing that you've opened up. But I love this church, and I know that we have been in a very different position, even though we don't talk about it all the time, than a lot of other places that I've been. I have a mother who has some discomfort with this, and I have a daughter who is a lesbian. And it's interesting, a few years ago, we have, not only do we have a very diverse congregation already, but I remember when we had someone who was transgender, who was part of our, you know, an usher. Yeah. And, you know, I would giggle to myself sometimes at the idea of my mother coming to church.
Oh, mine.
You know, and I don't mean in an unkind way, but I mean really like, in Latin phrase that we have in the law, res ipsa loquitur, the thing speaks for itself.
Yes.
And her being here, it spoke for itself. And the other thing I wanted to just share, it's using the old words, not our way of understanding sin now. But yesterday, someone posted on Facebook a little thing that says, don't judge anyone because they sin differently from you.
Yes. I love it.
That is so easy to meet somebody where they are with a real simple little thing than to go into a huge intellectual discussion about what this means and argue about a word or argue about whatever. I mean, I just saw that and I reposted and I said, wow, thank you, God. It just lifts. Well, it really does, doesn't it? It's like, so to me, what more conversation is there except from those people who are really asking for help in being free? And I think a lot of us are called upon to do that. And I don't know about some of the other folks here, but not only do I generally not get asked, am I saved? But in the last few weeks, I have had ministers from other churches come to me about issues that they are having that Spirit has taught me about. And there's been shifts. And I love it. And I'm thanking God for it. And that's kind of where I want to keep my focus on dealing with people. So.
Well, especially the last part you just said is what I feel I'm trying to empower us for, because I feel it's coming. That people are going to come more to us, because I think there has been a shift in the hearts and the minds of a lot of people out there. That and we need to be careful not to misjudge them, and to think, oh well, this is what they've always been. Maybe that's not at all what's going on right now in their hearts, and it's coming. And I just want us to be ready to have the conversation with them when they come to have it. Yes.
I really appreciate also everything you're saying, because, you know, when we understand really the Bible, I believe, then you see that the Bible is really universal law and grace. Particularly the first testament is universal law. The second testament goes into grace. You know, it really, to me, and everything in it goes to that. So if we're, but people have to understand that everything is metaphysical in it.
Right, that's the key.
Yeah, and that's what the founders of Unity, I mean, they even put together the metaphysical dictionary, and when you read and put the words together with that metaphysical dictionary, you even see that paragraphs are just talking law. You know, it's all there. But people don't, and then if you look at it like that, then everything about homosexuality and all of this is you know, is part of universal law. You cannot separate that from it, all of our being.
What class is it going to be where you're going to talk about homosexuality?
Well, I just had to put some things together. So let's talk about a little bit about what's next and what's going on and where I am.
Real quick, the Unity Metaphysical Bible, which is online, is this week's link. So if you'll go to the page that I've given you all, okay, the link to that Bible that okay, you just referred to.
We will continue this fascinating workshop entitled Bible 101 with David after this sponsored message from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.somaenergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now here's the conclusion of our Bible 101 class.
I sort of feel I've found my spot. Here at this Wednesday 11 o'clock thing, I would think, and I have the okay to hold this spot. So, my idea, you know, I don't know what you want to do. It's up to you. Whatever, you can give me feedback. There'll be a survey. You all need to fill out the survey. I really am going to read your surveys about your experience. This, I didn't know what to do. You know, my real high idea was to have some kind of an educational program, spiritually educational. I don't know how to do that. So I just had to put my foot in the water and just kind of see how it went. But I do want your surveys. But what I'm doing for the next two Wednesdays, I'm going to continue 11 o'clock Wednesday for you that want to come. And next Wednesday, I want to talk on the soul. I think it's a very misunderstood subject. I really do. I've been confused about the soul most of my life. And I think we need to understand the soul. And I've just been wanting to talk on it. I want to do it mainly to get it on record, to put it on, out there. Because we're making CDs and things out of all of these gatherings. So it's going to be available in sets and things. So you're actually helping me to birth some things that will continue way past these times that we've spent together. Then the next Wednesday, it will be on the relationships. And that message was birthed at Unity of Charlotte. maybe 15, 16 years ago, I did that workshop on star mates, soul mates, and twin flames and made it into a little book. I've just redone that book just recently and updated it, and it'll be out very quickly here.
That'll be part of their, when they come to that class, that'll be the release.
Okay, so you'll get that book. You'll get that book in those in that class. It'll be available to you. So it's a, if nothing else, give it to your grandkids or kids. Or, I mean, I wish somebody would have given me something to understand why we're attracted to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're attracted at many different levels with people, and we have to understand that because we have lived so below our waist for so long that we misinterpret our attractions to each other. And we need to understand that everything does not have a sexual connotation to it at all, that we can have co-create. Anyway, we'll talk about it. And it's very good to understand the difference in these things. And that'll be 2 weeks on Wednesday. Then we begin the series on the Buddhist thing. And I know that sounds dry and boring, but I will promise you I will not make it dry and boring to you at all. Whatsoever. But I was really inspired by this by reading a book called The Wise Heart. And it answered some questions to me about consciousness. And what it does, it takes a lot of our unity principles and gives us practice on how to actually love people. Not just mentally through a belief system love, but how we can experience, how consciousness can get through all these illusions and things like that. So then
I wanted something different. I've been in unity since the early 70s.
Me too.
I've been to so many of the classes. I've been out to the village. And I love unity. It saved my life. But I got to a place, I want something different.
Well, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. So I love you guys. I thank you so much for your warmth and for your being receptive and me not dismissed from this presence, only from the assembling of ourselves together, and extend the love that you are one to another. Namaste.
DVDs of this workshop are available at www.lightwithin.com. For further information on David Holtz, please go to www.lightwithin.com. This is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, saying thank you for joining us this week for this part of Bible 101, Lessons from Esoteric Christianity with David Holtz, brought to you by Soma Energetics. Join us for a new episode each Thursday at 2 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio.